The epistle for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, taken from St. Paul's out of the Ephesians chapter 4. Brethren, I, the prisoner in the Lord, exhort you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, careful to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and throughout all and in us all, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. And then the gospel is taken from that according to St. Matthew chapter 22. At that time, the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, putting him to the test, asked him, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and with thy whole soul and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments depend the whole of the law and the prophets. Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus questioned them, saying, What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, David's. And he said to them, How then does David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies the footstool of thy feet. If David therefore calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one could answer him a word, neither did anyone dare from that day forth to ask him any more questions. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So today, a few considerations on the two commandments. We'll try to be brief. The two great commandments in the gospel today, to love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, the whole mind, the whole soul. And then the second likened to it, that thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself for the love of God. Here are considerations today of the first commandment, the love of God. I'm going to say a few things and emphasize only one simple point. But the love of God is the first commandment. And the second commandment has no meaning without the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself for the love of God. And there's historical proof of this. Now in the last 500 years, there has been an abandonment of the love of God. A leaving of the Catholic faith and the Catholic Christendom. There was no intention to leave the love of neighbor. There's much speak about being friendly to your neighbor, much speech about that in our day and age. But the love of God was slowly departed from as in our society down the last 500 years. And the result is there is no love of neighbor. We have to lock our doors. We murder the neighbor before they're born with 1.2 million abortions a year. We destroy the family that holds the neighbor's stability together by divorce and remarriage. There's more murder by civilians in our day and age than any other time in history. And so the theft and so on, we have to lock our doors or live in a state of fear. This is what happens when the love of God departs. And so it is clear that not only is the love of God the first, but without the love of God, there can be no love of neighbor. It cannot be maintained. And so, a few rules concerning the love of God. I am the Lord thy God, those who know the strange gods before me. And there is one simple rule, only one I want to emphasize today. And that is that love is proven primarily by presence. Presence. We do all kinds of things, but it is the presence, our physical or mental presence, that really is the key to love. When a man loves his wife, he thinks of her, he tries to be with her, and there may not even be very much that is done when they are together. But they are going to be present. It's the first sign of love. If you're not there, then we question the love. And God is no different. If we are said to love Him, then we must be present with Him. Now, the first presence is the physical presence. And there is a minimum physical presence that is required, coming to Mass every Sunday. You are here physically in the presence of God, in the presence of the one that we love. We're not here only because it is a commandment, one of the six precepts of the church. We're here because we love God, and we want to be in His presence. And to go as long as a week without coming in His presence is unimaginable to us. And therefore, we come to His presence. We cannot go longer than 7 days, even with our other necessities, without physically coming into His presence. But this is only one kind of presence. There is another, which is the real proof of love. What kind of presence does God have inside of us when we are outside the church, when we're out in the world amongst our neighbors? Is He present in our thoughts? And here it is important to realize that the fulfillment of this first commandment, the love of God, though it says you have to go to Mass on Sunday and you have to praise the name of God, not curse, and so on and so forth, and worship the true God and accept the true faith. If it is love, it says more than that. The love of God says that He must be in my thoughts, in my mind, each day. We must speak to God in our minds. Now, we do it officially with our morning offering and our evening prayers and our rosary, but we must also do it unofficially. There must be a speaking to Him, no matter what state we find our souls in, even when we're in the state of serious sin. There needs to be a speaking to God. And a real simple rule. If the love of God is more important than the love of neighbor, then it would only make sense that we would be present with God and that we would speak with God more often than we speak with our neighbor. Not saying there has to be more words, but more often. So during the course of each day, we generally speak to our neighbor, starting with the neighbors of the family, the husband, the wife, the children, and then the members of society, the ones you work with, the people you work with, and then the people you meet in the streets. There is a daily communication with neighbor. And this communication happens multiple times during the course of the day. However many times that is, there should be more communications with God. And if there aren't, then we aren't really showing the love of God as it should be shown. He must be present in our thoughts. Just simply brief communications with God that must happen and should happen throughout the day. We see at the end of the gospel today, and they durst not ask Him any more questions. There comes a point where the enemies of God, they were asking Him questions at one point. They were speaking to Him in order to entrap Him. When they realized that they could not entrap Him, but in fact they were themselves being entrapped, they no longer asked Him any more questions. There comes a point in the life of the sinner where he just no longer speaks to God. That's the point that the Pharisees arrive at today. And that is a sign of final impenitence. It is one of the signs that a soul is damned. And so it is necessary that we always speak to God in our private daily life. Lord, please help me out. Help me to overcome this difficulty. Please forgive me for my foolishness. And we should always have questions. The enemies of God in the gospel today, only a week or two before the crucifixion, stopped asking questions. to show definitively that they were hardened in their enemy, in their state of being an enemy of Jesus Christ, an enemy of God. And if we ever reach that point where we no longer speak to Him interiorly, and we no longer ask Him any questions, then we know by that we are in the same condition as these apostles, these Pharisees and Sadducees, and we are about to crucify Christ. This moment must not come, as it did in the gospel today for the Pharisees and Sadducees. A real simple rule. Do I speak to God more often than I speak to my neighbor? If I do not, then I am not speaking sufficiently to Him. And I need to change that. Every single day. It doesn't have to be a different expression every day. We find in our daily communication, you ever notice how over the course of a year, sitting around the table and talking, that you end up telling the same jokes about 20 times. And you end up asking the same questions. And you end up telling the same stories. And the fathers end up preaching the same sermons. It is not necessary that it be all different words. It doesn't have to all be different and new words. It can be the same old questions, the same old requests, the same old communications. But they are new in that they are done each day, as the husband and the wife tell each other they love each other every single day. So likewise, we should tell God in our private mental contemplation and speaking with Him during the course of the day that we love Him, that we believe, that we ask Him to forgive our unbelief, help our unbelief. We need to speak with Him even when we are in the state of sin, and especially when we're in the state of sin. We cannot claim that because we have committed a serious sin, there's no point. There is. It will give us the strength to be able to go back to confession and to not offend Him again between the time of the sin and the confession. And to slowly build up strength to permanently overcome the evil habit. There must be a regular communication, and that's the only point of this contemplation today. Do we speak to our Lord more often than we speak to our neighbor? That's what we must do. Be in His presence, not only physically as you come whenever you can come to church, but also spiritually in our minds. We must be present with Him. He must not be far from our thoughts, regardless of our weaknesses. So we'll try to develop that habit and increase it, and then we'll carry our Lord then wherever we go. And then I'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.